wonderful, amazing Sunday school teachers, and I invited Gail Manson to speak on their behalf and share her perspective on how it is to serve in children's ministry.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to put my timer on so I don't talk too long. My goal today is to encourage anyone who's been praying about where they could jump in and serve at New Life Christian Fellowship to consider the children's ministry, or a dynamic children's ministry. And we're going to have a table out there today if you just want to visit it. Rich and Melinda will be manning that table. If you have any questions and you've thought, I wonder what children's ministry is like, or if they need help, we do, and it's a great place to serve. Here's how I began serving at New Life in the children's ministry. We came here about 12 years ago in June, and I had served in Sunday schools before, but I thought I'd try different things. So I tried hospitality, greeting, helped with Beth Moore, different things, the bulletin board. And then about 2.5 years ago, someone said, well, you know, why don't you check with the person in charge of your children's ministry to see if they need help? Because, I mean, it looks pretty seamless. Pastor says, okay, children will leave now. Everything looks together, and everybody just leaves. And you just wonder what they do back there. But, you know, everybody, all the teachers get up, and, wow, they're doing good. But actually, a lot does go on back there. It's not a babysitting service, believe me. They're hearing the gospel, and they're being trained in so many ways. It's a dynamic, exciting thing. But you just don't know if help's needed. But help is needed. And so I went up to Dejanani, and I said, by the way, do you need help in the children's ministry? And her eyes got real big, like, do we? and so immediately she had me shadowing a class. And that's a good way to begin. If you're a little bit nervous and you're not sure if you can do it, you can shadow a class, or you could ask, are there other ways I could help in children's ministry? Since I've been helping for the last 2.5 years, serving in the children's ministry, it's been amazing. I've gotten great training, tons of support. I mean, many times I come the day I have to teach, panic-stricken, run up to Dejanani. She's always available. She's always just a text away. I can't find something. I can't find the take-home sheets or something. And she's always there to help. She never gets upset. She keeps her cool. And it's only a once-a-month commitment, which is a big deal, because wherever I've taught Sunday school, it's every week, and you're never in the service. And then we have a fantastic streamlined curriculum. It takes about 30 to 45 minutes a month to prepare. I'm used to, believe it or not, 4 hours a week preparation with all the other curriculums I used over the years. It was always like, okay, Saturdays, I got to get ready for Sunday school. But here, I keep thinking I'm doing something wrong because it's such a streamlined, I'm like, wait, I couldn't be ready. You know, my lesson plan couldn't be ready already, but it's really well laid out. And Dejanani is responsible for that because people said, I just don't have the time, you know, for children's ministry. And she's trying to make this as Bay Area friendly as she can for the busy Bay Area crowd we have here. And only about 2 meetings a year, right? And a free Brazilian dinner, appreciation dinner. It's awesome. And I have personally enjoyed watching the younger members of the congregation blossom. I have also met many members of the community, and I'm just going to say one thing. My grandmother in Nyack, New York, was a busy home business. She sold chickens and eggs from her home 7 days a week, and I don't know that she ever darkened the door of a church, but she was smart. She sent her 2 sons, my father and his brother, to a nearby church, a Baptist church, that had a lot of stuff for kids, you know. And when going through my father and my uncle's things after they passed in their 90s, I found the Bible they got in children's ministry, 85 years prior. And, you know, that was during the Depression, and they were always talking about going to the poorhouse, and they were terrified of, you know, going under, and they worked like dogs. But it's not that different in the Bay Area. You know, we have, it's not that different. It's everybody's stressed out trying to make a living here, and they'd do anything to take a nap. You know, and if we had something for the kids, they drop the kids off, you know? And so I just thought of my grandmother's story, and I thought it is like the Bay Area, you know? She maybe some families can't come, but maybe they'd send their kids. So if you have thought about children's ministry, but you thought, well, I don't know if I could do that. I remember when I first started teaching Sunday school, it was 45 years ago, and just got saved. And I was a teacher, and I thought, well, I got this. I'll be a Sunday school teacher. And I remember the first training I got humbled me so much. Because it said, you know, you might be a trained teacher, you might be a professional teacher, but that has nothing to do with Sunday school. Sunday school, all we're looking for is a willing vessel, teachable spirit, yielded to the Holy Spirit, someone who will pray for the children all week, pray for that lesson, pray for the presence of God in the classroom, for God to show up. The best thing that happened in my classroom 2 weeks ago is I got to know my helper. Kiana, I got to talk to her about her life, and it was awesome. What awesome helpers we have from the community here. It's just amazing. So the mission statement here for the ministry here is to develop children's Christian faith now. And that's another, it's a very progressive ministry because teaching Sunday school the other places, it was kind of like the mentality, oh yeah, we got to train them some Sunday when they're 30 or 40, you know, they can minister. But here it's like right now, you know, as little children, they can minister. And it's so shown here at New Life, all the community outreaches, the kids are right, operation, you know, children's ministry, all the kids were here filling the boxes, and they're being trained in this church right now that they have a gift that they can share, and they're being released into that right now.
Yay.
So praise God. So to develop children's Christian faith now, it is an intergenerational approach and a partnership with an emphasis on prayer and exploring God's nature in Christian camps. And we're allied with Happy Kinder Creek and what's the other one? Okay, those two. And you can learn more about it at our table. And presently, we have 17 faithful students attending every week our children's ministry. We praise God for those 17 children. Praise God. And they're being trained, and the families are bringing them every week, and we praise God for that. We are so thankful. Our department has a preschool class, an elementary class, and a middle school class, and teachers are needed in all three. You know, so, and also floaters, you know, if you can't commit to a class. But by the way, if you do commit to a schedule, you know I'm commitment phobic, but a schedule, once a month, put your name on the line, you're going to be here. We're flexible too. If something comes up, you can always switch with other teachers, and very fluid, very Bay Area. And now I would like to introduce you to a friend that my friend Linda Racine introduced me to this week. I just met this little friend, and his name is Oscar the Gospel Octopus, okay? So we do all sorts of things back there. So anyway, we're gonna say what all his legs mean. We're gonna start with gold leg. That's yellow. Okay, the gold stands for God loves you and wants you to live with him in heaven someday. Now black. But we all have sinned, and sin must be punished. Now red. Christ took the punishment for you. He offers you the free gift of salvation. White. When you receive God's gift, you are saved. Green. You should grow to be more like Jesus, and how we do that is reading the Bible, coming to church, telling other people about Jesus, and serving. Blue. Jesus is coming again in the sky. Purple. He will reign as king. And yellow, let your light shine for him. Now, I have something to say about this. The other night, I was practicing on my two grandkids. Some of you know they don't come much here because they moved out of the area, but Hudson and Holden. And Hudson, while I was doing this, got all animated because he's come to Sunday school here for a while. And he goes, I know that. I know most of those quotes from the Flipper Flapper book. And you know, and he was telling me what everything meant. And then little Holden just loved Oscar and wouldn't let go of him. And I said, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart, Holden? And he accepted the Lord Friday night when I was practicing. So anyway, my grandson accepted the Lord. So anyway, I praise God for this. I praise God for this ministry. Oh, by the way, we have a little Oscar the Gospel octopus that if you put your name in at our table, we visit our table, you could win an Oscar today. Thank you.
Gail Manson is hired as our spokesperson. The children are just can go to their prayer time and Bible study time.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm Mary Ramirez, and this year I'm going to be ahead of women's ministry again. And I need some help deciding what we do for this year of 2020. And I have a survey in the it's going to be at the women's ministry table that I'd like all of the ladies of the church to fill out. It's going to guide us what we want to do as far as community outreach, service projects, fundraising, fellowship. So if you're able to fill that out, it would be a great help to me because I don't want to decide what we're doing by myself. Be no fun. This last year, for example, Sherry brought to us the women's retreat idea, and Maribel did the tamale fundraiser. Genevieve and Paula brought the idea of the garage sale, and we made quite a bit of money for Resource Center in Matthew 25. And then Christy brought the idea of the Teacher Appreciation Day. So together we can decide what it is that we want to put our energies to this year. And then February 1st, as announced, just come have lunch with me at my house. We can talk some more about what we're going to do and also what the 21 days of fasting meant to us. And then I'm going to switch hats to the hospitality team. I'm new to this position, but I have been on a team for 2 years, and it's really, really fun. I think it's one of the really coolest thing that we do at our church. We can continue the worship service after we've been spiritually fed. We can be physically fed and just sit down and linger with each other. And I really, really like that. And I know a lot of you do as well. If you don't know, there are 5 teams who work to prepare food, every delicious food every week, and we can use people on any of those teams. 2 things I want to make sure people understand is that you don't have to be a cook. I'm not really a good cook. I just make salad. But you can, if you don't want to prepare food, you can do dishes, you can set up, you can do other preparation or shopping. And the other thing is you're not expected to buy and prepare food for 100 people out of your own pocket, that there is a budget for that, and there's a process to be reimbursed, so I don't want that to hold anyone back. And Donna Kimball's going to share her experiences with us.
Yes. I'm on the first Sunday fellowship. It gives me a chance to give back to my church family that has given so much to me. It also gives me the opportunity to get to know the ladies that I serve with much better, and it's just fun working together. That's it.
And if you want more information or to sign up or just want to talk about a little more, we have a ministry, women's ministry table, and hospitality table in the back.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Mitch Stoltz, if you don't know me already. I'm the leader of both the men's ministry and Matthew 25 ministries. We're going to start off with the men's ministry, so if I can ask Steve Hernan to come on up as well. He's going to be speaking a little bit on the men's ministry behalf, but I just want to throw it out to all the guys. 2019 was kind of... It was a weird one. We did our usual activities with some of the breakfasts, hosting the Mother's Day and doing stuff like that. But I want to see what we can do more, and I'm going to invite each and every man to come up to me later on at the table with some ideas. If there's some things that you've been holding on to your heart that you'd like to see the men's ministry achieve in the year 2020 and in the future, I definitely invite you guys to come see me. That would be greatly appreciated. You guys all know how I feel about Matthew 25, both myself and for Christy. That is a ministry that has taken off like I've never expected. I can't say enough, about all of your help and your attention to the details that we need in order to help us succeed. It's been a huge blessing, and we're gonna the outlook for Matthew 25 ministries is what we're gonna do is we're not gonna entertain anything else new, but what we really want to do is take the stuff that we've done in the last number of years and just really make an impact with that. There are definitely going to be some changes for 2020 and the way we do that, so we invite you again to come see us both at the table for Matthew 25, and we can kind of give you an idea of what our outlook is on that as well. So on behalf of the men's ministry, I'd like to offer the microphone to Steve. Steve's going to just tell you a little bit as to the men's ministry and so on and so forth. Thank you.
Good. Hi, I'm Steve. Mitch asked me to speak just a little bit about the men's breakfast, which, if you didn't already know, is every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock at City Diner, or City Grill, which is just down the street and to the left in the little square there. If you have any questions and want any one of us even to pick you up and bring you, that's great. All men are invited. It's probably one of the most, non-threatening. Is probably the best word, as far as you can be who you are and no one cares, except that we do care because we want to hear what's on your heart. And the best way to do that is to get rid of all the pretenses and all that sort of stuff. But just to share a story quickly, Amy and I were driving down the road, I don't know what it was, maybe last year or the year before, through our neighborhood, Saturday afternoon, and as we're driving along, all of a sudden I look around and she goes, "Why is everybody throwing a football?" And I said, "I don't know." And we went a couple more blocks and another football flew across. And I go, "Oh, wait a minute." So then it occurred to me that there was a 49er game and it was probably halftime. So what does that tell us? It tells us that men sit around and watch TV and say, "I could do that." And then as soon as they have a chance, they run out and do it, right? So this is a lot of what happens at the men's breakfast. One of the guys will share something in a book that they're reading and saying, "This really challenged my faith in this way." And the 6, 8, 12 of us, the rest of us, in our hearts say, "I can do that." And somebody else shares a story about stepping up and being a little bit more of a man of God at their home or at their office, and it challenges us to do the same too. And so because we're wired the way we are, and we thank God that we are made this way, I think it's great when we share in a common way and a non-threatening way just who we are and what God's doing. The agenda is never set. And we almost always talk about something to do with a men's ministry thing like Matthew 25 or the luau or Super Bowl Sunday or such. But always, too, we get to heart matters. And yesterday we talked just briefly about trying not to overmanage things. Sometimes you need to leave some space, or all the time you need to leave the space for God to do what God will do. And one of the guys was just sharing. He was saying, this was in a devotion a couple of days ago, and it really struck me. And it was the example of Moses. So we go deep sometimes, but we all stay practical, right? So if you haven't been in a long time, come back. If you've never been before, ask one of us, and we'd be happy to get you there. And again, I don't think you'd be disappointed. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, I just want to kind of just add along that, you know, the breakfast down at City Grill is what brought me into the men's ministry, and that was, thank you, Andy Lee, for bringing me there, because it's actually stretched me, and the Lord has challenged me in a lot of ways by doing so. And again, you know, the whole church theme is come as you are, and that's exactly what we want at the men's breakfast, is come what you are, whatever's weighing on your heart. We have some laughs, we have some tears. It's a little bit of everything, but it's open to all the guys. You know, once in a while you can come down. If you want to come down every Saturday, that'd be great, but, you know, we really want to be able to have fellowship with one another, and I think that's the key. And again, for guys, we don't always open up, and this is an opportunity to get out of your own way, so to speak, and out of the stuff that is just blocking you from coming. So thank you. Now I want to ask Steve Vetter to come up. He's going to speak on Matthew 25. Now, Steve's been coming with Matthew 25 to the San Francisco outreach. He's helped along the way with all of our other projects, with Christmas Angels, with the, you know, school supplies. He's been a major support mechanism for all of us at Matthew 25. So, Steve, thank you.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm kind of like a Gideon. I love to just be in the background and not really be up here talking, but here I am, so I'm trying to be brave as Mitch and my wife would have me to be, and so, yeah, you can't get away from that one. But I just thank God for Mitch and Christy giving us the opportunity to, you know, feed the hungry and clothe the homeless and just be God's hands and feet, you know, extended to the community. So it's a great experience, and if you could get involved somehow, you know, that would be awesome. What else, Matthew? No, it's just sometimes I feel very selfish with my time, and it's just the last thing I would do is want to go to Matthew 25, but I go. And I really get blessed. And it's the same with all the ministries in the church. It's just like if you get involved and just ask God, if he asks you to be a part, then you will be blessed. You will meet a lot of interesting people, like Jerry. So anyway, thank you, Mitch, for the opportunity to serve and to feed the hungry and to just, you know, whatever you did for the least of these brothers, you did unto me. So that's everything. Thank you.
And what Steve ended right there is exactly what Matthew 25 is. It's sharing Jesus with other people. It's sharing ourselves and what we can do to better people's lives, whether it's spiritual, whether it's material, whatever we have to do, we're going to continue to do so in a manner that that really speaks to those, or Jesus speaks through us to them. So I definitely want to invite you guys to see us afterwards in during fellowship time, so we can kind of give you an update as to, you know, the 2020 forecast, and then you guys also might have some things on your heart that you might want to share with us that we can look into the future as well. So thank you.
I My husband's Lasse Green, and he asked me to speak for about his Passion Healing team. And ironically, I'm super sick, so I think that's hilarious as I speak about healing teams. So his Passion Healing team, I think we're in our second year. We are the teams that put on Healing Time, and that's an event quarterly that we do where we transform the sanctuary into a healing space with art and music and places to receive prayer for wherever you're at. The next one is the Saturday, the first from 2 to 5. And like Pastor said, everyone's welcome. And please, if you know someone who needs prayer, no one leaves here feeling not feeling the love of God with them, no matter what their beliefs, no matter who they are. It's a beautiful thing. And so to prepare these teams, we meet every other Friday evening from 7 to 9:30-ish, and we discuss a book and a workbook to give us structure by Bible-based healing ministers. But we are not a team who really sits around talking about a book. We are a very hands-on team, a spirit-filled team, and we are a group that is led by the Spirit. We kind of organize our team so that any level of experience that anyone has had with healing prayer, that there is a place that they can plug in. Usually the team who prays for someone will have a leader who does most of the talking and a second seat who kind of prays for the leader and watches what the Holy Spirit is doing. And we can also have a third seat who maybe someone who just wants to be around healing and just kind of watch what's happening as prayer unfolds. And so I think it's so exciting because sometimes people think it's intimidating to pray or they're curious, but they feel intimidated. And so I'm excited that it's a place where all levels are welcome. All you need is a hunger to see healing and a hunger for more Jesus. So then that said, I just wanted to share some healing testimonies from this year. We had I had the opportunity to pray for my friend Sherry. She had a condition in her jaw that we were praying for as a team for about 3 weeks, and she had a nerve in her jaw that was bothering her so much. It was kind of becoming one of those things where, is this going to take over my life now with going to doctor's appointments and no one knows what's wrong and I'm just in pain and every day it's like, can I go to work? And I happened to be at her house, and I prayed for her, and I just knew that it was going to get healed that day. I don't know why I knew, but I was just like, God is going to heal that today. And so when I left, she was still in pain, but later that evening, I think it was 6 o'clock or something like that, she said she was at a wedding and it left and it has never come back. So we love that, and that happens. That's real. The second testimony I wanted to share was a woman from St. Andrews who came for prayer, I think a year and a quarter or so ago. And she came with just a mysterious set of symptoms that were starting to just take over her life. She was almost totally debilitated and homebound. She was going to different doctors. No one really knew what was wrong with her or how to help her. And she came in for prayer. And the next time I saw her was last month at the Christmas party, and she said, "You're the one, you guys do that healing prayer time thing." And I said, "Yeah, how?" You know, she goes, "Well, you prayed for me." And she goes, "That turned my illness." Like, that day was the day that my illness turned in this direction. And over the past year, I swear this is what she said, and you could see it on her. She goes, "I'm living in exuberant joy and vibrant health." And God is just so good I can't make that up, so just God is good. And the last one, we also go out with Matthew 25, and I just wanted to tell newcomers, there's a lot of newcomers in the church today. Matthew 25 is our outreach. Everything that we do for outreach is Matthew 25, who that was Mitch and Steve who just spoke. But we go out and pray inside of the lines as they're setting up the food and the clothes and toiletries and stuff. We'll also go out and pray for the people on the lines. And I saw a woman was highlighted to me, and because sometimes you just see there's a person on the street who has a certain spark about them, a certain light about them. I always try to go speak life into those folks there because they need each other so much. So her name was Rita, and Pastor met her too. And Rita, I was praying for her, and I just asked Spirit, like, show me, you know, just show me something. And Spirit just showed me she was so healthy, and Spirit showed me her hands. And so I said, you just are so healthy, Rita. Like, did you come through a healing crisis? And she said, yeah, I have hep C, and I had the flu, and I got rid of this habit. And she goes, you prayed for me a year ago. And I go, oh, my gosh. I don't remember that, but tell me what happened. And I said, also, your hands, they're just so beautiful and perfect. And she goes, I have nails again. And I said, did you used to bite your nails? And she said, no, I was digging in trash all day. I dug in trash. And after you prayed for me, it just sort of started, that thing started picking up. And I said, well, where was, like, was there a breakthrough day? And she said, well, this one point, I just realized that I needed to start taking care of myself and stop pleasing other people and take care of myself. And I can't tell you how, just because you go out into the Tenderloin, it feels pretty hopeless, but I have such a firm belief that God has us there for a reason. And sorry, I got kind of off track, but healing is real. Suffering is also holy and real, and sometimes we come alongside those who are suffering, and sometimes we get to see amazing healings, and all along Jesus is just with us and we're growing together. And I just praise God for this vibrant, living body of Christ that is in front of me today. Like, I love you guys, and thanks to God for all the stuff that we get to see and do as this living body.
We have a youth group called TYG. It stands for the youth group. I remember when, many years ago, when we started it, when they came up with that name, I thought, that's dumb. But it really stuck, and it's been going ever since. Now, our attendance has been down a bit this year, but we have just started having Friday night meetings, which are various people's houses, and we're having a lot of fun, and we're beginning to build with our middle schoolers. And church youth ministries are often like that, where you go up, and three or four years ago we had 40 in our youth group. Now we've got about 10. So it happens like that. But every Friday in somebody's house, you'll see it announced in the bulletin. We have fun Fridays. But one of the best things that we do is that we go to Fuge Camp. No young person that I've ever taken to Fuge Camp. Well, I haven't taken them to Fuge. The leaders have taken them to Fuge Camp, except for this year where I went for the first time. The older you get, well, you know, you never know what's going to happen next. But where's Michaela? She's supposed to be here right now telling you about... Silas, come here. Now, tell us about Fuge Camp. I'm going to give you the microphone.
Fuge Camp was really fun. I felt very connected to God. And it's just 5 days of, like, doing everything to worship God. And we learned a lot there, and it was really fun. And I'm really excited to go next year. And
Oh, you want to come next year?
Yeah. I think everyone that went this year or last year will want to go this year, I hope.
Yeah. There's Michaela, yeah. We thought we'd lost you.
Oh, no, I was just hoping.
Oh. That's what I... So tell us about camp, quickly.
Okay. Okay, so Fuge Camp is a life-changing Christian camp where the teens...
Sorry, someone called you.
Where the... I had to decline it real quick. Where the teens from around the country gather to get closer to God and grow their faith and make new Christian friends. So when I went my first time, so there's this bell you ring, right? It's where you accept Christ. So I accepted Christ that week because I heard God and I heard him that week. And it just helped me walk with my faith and go on the right path and stuff. But yeah.
So we are going to take a group to camp this year, and so if you want to come, okay, David.
Hello, everyone. I am the Growth Group Ministry Coordinator here at New Life. Growth groups, that's what we call our small group ministry. We have five different small groups that meet during the week and discuss the Bible and share life with one another. I love our Tuesday small group. It's awesome. Our Tuesday group is led by Sang and Mei Lee. Jumping back to Sunday, Sharon leads our Sunday group. Amy Quartermain leads our wonderful Monday group. We have a couple groups on Thursday, one led by Gary and Mary and another by Julie. But I want you to hear from a couple of people who've been blessed by growth groups. Would you like to start,
yeah,
Stephanie?
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe share what group you're part of.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Xavier, and I go to Richard and Amy Quartermain's growth group for the past 2 years. I've been a part of the San Bruno Vineyard for 15 years, but they're in a season where they don't have home groups or growth groups. So I have some friends who already attend, who are formerly of the Vineyard, and attend Amy and Richard's growth group. So it was so wonderful to be welcomed as a sister in Christ to fellowship. And I've been enjoying the format, and that we have an opportunity to talk together about the message and answer questions. And it's just a blessing to be, because I have a hunger, as we all do, to be a disciple in Christ. And it's a way for us to walk in greater faith, because we can share together our victories and the things that we want to overcome and pray and look at the Word. And it's just a wonderful way to make friends. I have so many more friends, and it has led me to come here. This is going to be my home church. I announced it, a week or two ago. And so I'm so excited and blessed by all the ministries here. And I just want to end this little testimony here about a God thought I had, and it was so beautiful. It was from him. But when he brings people together, he sees it as a bouquet of flowers. And so all these ministries and all these small groups, all the things that we do together, even this church, is a bouquet in the eyes of God.
Well, my growth group meets on Thursday nights. And when I looked on the website to see what a growth group was, it had 4 points. And I wanted to tell you what our growth group is. The first point was it meets once a week. And as I already said, ours meets on Thursday. And sometimes by then, I may be spiritually down and running on empty. And it helps to get me back up for the rest of the week. And one of the other points is care for one another. The aim is to open up and share our lives with each other. And as that connection has happened, I've realized it's a safe place to share any concerns within the group. What's said in the group stays in the group, which has really been something important to me. And The next point is, as we explore and apply God's word together, discussions are centered around the text and message of the previous Sunday. It has given me a place to listen and learn from others, and I realize even if my answers aren't always the same, it's okay. Pray together. We do pray each other with each other on Thursday nights, but it goes beyond that. It extends into the week. If somebody is having something in our group on a Monday, you know that our group's praying, so it's not just Thursday nights. And the one thing it doesn't say at the website, and as Mitch said last week, what I heard was he likes our church because it's one of action. But in the bulletin today, it says, it's such a privilege to be a part of such an active church. That's what you said. And what it didn't say to me was, but what it has done for our group is it's given our group the opportunity to go out beyond the doors, walk across the street, and go fellowship with the seniors at Casa Pacifica. And that's just been really something very special. We've had great times, there's been laughter, and I've gotten to know a lot of them, and it's priceless, developing those relationships. And I can't say how much it's meant to me. Sorry, I'm pretty nervous. And I agree with David when he says that.
Sure. Jonathan and I have a podcast every week where we talk about the growth group material, and I always begin it by saying that spiritual growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. We have a table afterwards. Come and find us.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to use the mic right this time. Last time I spoke, I was like, wait. And I'm the sound guy, so I should know better. But you get nervous up here, at least I do. I'm not going to say a whole lot, but I am a privileged leader here with the worship team. I help tune the band up with timing and stuff like that, and it's been a really good thing. And I'm just so thankful for the dedication of everybody that's in the group. We're here pretty much every week, and it can be a lot of work, but God greatly blesses us through it, not just with the music, but spiritually as well as a family. And my wife, who you see every week, is going to share her experience.
I almost came up and adjusted your mic. It was too low. Okay. There we go. Teamwork. Okay, so you probably noticed that I keep my head in the words a lot. I don't, I'm not as good with speaking, and I know we're on a time crunch. So I actually wrote something, so I'm going to read it and hope that's okay. All right. I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right, but Eric Little, Olympic gold medalist in the 1920s and missionary to China, is known to have said, "God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure." You guys said I was going to cry, and I am. You guys know me. Okay. I've always loved that saying. It just brings me joy to hear that. And so I feel, and many of my, and my worship team feels the same, I think. I feel that God made me a singer, and when I sing, I feel his pleasure. As we worship together, I hope we all feel his pleasure as we worship him. Being a part of this worship team has been such a blessing for me. There's something about being immersed each week in the truths that we sing. I feel our team is a reflection of the diversity of the body of Christ. With different backgrounds, a variety of instruments, styles of worship, working together at different stages in our faith and musicality to communicate his truth and grace. I love to work together as a team to worship with his people. Singing is such a unique way to get truth about God into our soul. Focusing on the truth of God's deep love for us moves me to tears at times, as you know. It's such an intimate thing, and I appreciate that we can be vulnerable here at New Life. Being in a community in corporate worship as we sing brings me so much joy. As I sing and look out in the congregation, I often remember something that has been shared in prayer. I see people's struggles and joys, their pain and their healing. They are a reminder about how God is touching each life in his timing and in the specific ways they need to be touched as we learn and as we grow. To me, worship is many things, but some are thanking God, welcoming the Holy Spirit, recognizing what Jesus did for us, acknowledging and soaking in his love, recognizing who he is and what he is doing, who he says we are as God's children, proclaiming his truth and his goodness, communicating wonder, prayer, asking him to work in and through us, humbling ourselves, being vulnerable. It's corporate praise, expecting miracles, and remembering his promises. This team over the years has been like a growth group for me. It's a place where we are able to pray for each other and be real about our struggles, a place where we have grown and wrestled with our faith. It has been like a family. We're in constant communication and sometimes spend 6 or more hours together in any week that when we're on a team. 2-hour practice, another 2-hour practice, and then another 2-hour service. So we're together a lot. like a family, we have dealt with deep loss together. We've experienced joy together. I've learned that on such a team as this, it takes a heart for sharing God's love, musical skill, flexibility, lots of it, commitment to each other, teamwork, set up and take down, willingness to be vulnerable, and willingness to take out 6 hours of your week for practice. willingness to be teachable. We have so much to learn from each other. Last year, John shared our desire to bring on some of the youth to help with the team, and we have been blessed to have some of the youth join us in worship this year. It's been great. We are open to having other musicians sit on a practice to see if they are a good fit for the team, to see how they feel about it, and or would like to participate in special music. Practically speaking, there are a lot of moving parts and schedules we are working with from week to week. So if you have musical talent, flexible heart, any of you may have one and just the time, like our, I would say, I think I speak for all of us, if you have and want to share at least special music, do the off, the offertory, if you want to do special music, please do get in touch. And if you're really interested in being in sharing your gifts on the team and making a commitment, let's connect.
Last but not least, I'm Julianne Burkhardt. I'm the communications director here. I do the website, social media, the For Pacifica. What else do I do? all the bulletins, any paper flyers you see out there. Barbara has been like my right-hand woman, and she's helped me with the bulletins. She's been on the slide team. Oh, I help with this. Put the schedule together for the slide team, which is very crucial for our services every Sunday. So I will give it over to Barbara.
Hi, I'm Barbara. Like many of you who spoke today, I'm more of a behind-the-scenes type of person. And so I think a couple of years ago, God was kind of prompting me, like, I just wanted to know how I could help in the church more, but definitely behind the scenes. And so I went up to Sharon, and I was like, is there any way I can help in the office? Because that's where I felt God was calling me to help. That's my strength. And Sharon was like, I don't know, but you can ask Julianne. And I went to Julianne, and she didn't even hesitate. Like, she was like, here, can you help me with the bulletins? You know, and it's something simple, just folding them and putting them together. But, you know, you can pick them up in the evening, do them at home. just getting back here before Sunday service starts. It's really a simple thing to do, but it helps the church out. Slide team, it's don't be scared if computer skills are holding you back from wanting to join the slide team. I am a PC person. I had never touched a MacBook until I started on the slide team. And Julianne is a great trainer. The other people on the team are awesome as well. Shilpi, she just put together a tutorial on how to do the slides, which will help any of you who would be interested in joining the team. It's very step-by-step, very detailed. And I think Ethan Pang and Shilpi's son Ethan are also, they're very proficient at the MacBook. And so they'll always be there to help you out. Don't feel like you're going to freeze up there and have no help. So, yeah, if you'd like to join, please let us know.
So we'll have a table at the end, and I also am looking for help on the website. So if anyone feels that they can help with that, just updating links and things like that, it's super helpful for me because I have a lot of moving parts every week. Thank you.
I have one more thing that's not on your it's not on your bulletins to do today. Last year we began something, which was Julianne went crazy today because I don't have any slides for the vision I'm going to share for you, and she said I don't know what to do. I haven't got any slides to. she's not ever actually promised me she's not going to forgive me. So so just pray that she does forgive me. We began something last year where we, and as a staff, we sat down and looked at what we called New Life superheroes. People who we recognize have made an extraordinary contribution to our church and recognize that we want to recognize them in some way. And so we, last year we had some plaques made, and this year we've done the same thing. Because this year, our New Life hero is Lars Green. This says to you that you're everywhere. And actually, you shouldn't be. You said to me this morning, I think I need to take a day off. We think you probably should too, but we are extraordinarily grateful. You serve us in so many extraordinary ways. We are enormously grateful. And God is enormously grateful too. Mm. And so, thank you.
Can I say something?
Of course you can. Thank you. You want?
Yeah, I'm just going to take this. I just want to say thanks to you guys, actually, for being so supportive. Anytime that I have an idea, everybody comes around me and pours out their heart into that idea. I cannot believe the transformation in my life over the last 5 years. It all started at a campsite, a KOA, playing Christian songs that I didn't even know. But through all of you guys have a very important part in my testimony. Don't ever forget that. Even if I don't know you right now, you're going to have a very important part of my testimony, which is the testimony of the power of the Holy Spirit in a life. I cannot believe the life of the Holy Spirit that's in this church. And I just pray for more, Lord God. Let us blow these walls off this church and go out and reach this world that so desperately needs Jesus, the hope of Jesus, the healing of Jesus. Anyway, I didn't know anything about this. It's a total surprise. But yeah, I couldn't do any of it without all of you and without God, so thank you.
It's an amazing year because 2020 hindsight is always perfect. And we'd all like to have 2020 vision, wouldn't we? And so we have a unique opportunity to look back as we have done and see so many of the things that God has done and celebrate them, and recognize that without him we would have done nothing. And yet we want to have 2020 vision, which takes this community, which we have celebrated and has blessed us all in such extraordinary ways. We want to continue to do what God is asking us to do for the future. But you know, God doesn't always give us so much of the 2020 vision. He sometimes doesn't let us see too far down the road. And so, like Peter, who stepped out on the Sea of Galilee, or Joshua's people who stepped in to the river, to the Red Sea, we have to continue and seek God's face for what he would have us do for the future. Philippians 1:6 says, I am certain that God who began the good work within you and has been, and we have seen so much of what he's done, is going to continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. Although Jesus often doesn't let us see too far ahead, because he, I think, often knows what we'd do with it if he did, he gives us reassurance often that we are on the right track and that we need to continue going down the roads he's put before us. About a year ago, just under a year ago, I was given some of that reassurance when somebody gave me a prophetic word. A prophetic word that they believed was for this church. Now, before we get any further, I know that probably for some of you to say something like a prophetic word, it sets off all sorts of bells and question marks and, oh, what on earth does that mean? And you've got a vision of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos and what on earth are you talking about? And of course, Isaiah and Jeremiah were Old Testament prophets. And Old Testament prophets were very different than New Testament prophets. Old Testament prophets stood before God alone. Old Testament prophets were expected to speak the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. But New Testament prophets are somewhat different. And the Apostle Paul tells us that we should desire the gifts of prophecy. He says, John 14, verse 1 says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. And so when somebody gives a prophetic word, what does that mean? Well, the first and foremost, it means that we have the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit that inspired the Old Testament prophets. But there's not much more that's the same, which is quite reassuring for people who give prophetic words, because in the Old Testament, it says, if the word didn't come true, you were supposed to stone the prophet. And I suspect that that's somewhat reassuring for people who God has given the gift of giving prophetic words. But the let me just give you briefly a couple of guidelines that are given for New Testament prophets. Firstly, New Testament prophets give words that are in line with the ministry of Jesus and his word. And they're brought in love and they're brought in humility. They are incomplete without the other gifts of the church. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 10 says, he has given one person the power to perform miracles, the other to ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. So New Testament prophecy is in a group of ministries. In fact, if you look carefully at the New Testament, you'll see a lot of New Testament prophecies are in teams. Judas and Silas in Acts chapter 15 says, and Judas and Silas, both being prophets, spoke at length to the believers, encouraging and strengthening their faith. So a New Testament prophetic word will encourage and strengthen our faith. And it then says you have to test the spirits. So when a word is given, those with discernment are there to test the word and see, is this really what God is saying to us? And like all of the others, it's a servant ministry. And what is the fruit of a prophetic ministry? It is confirmation, clarity, empowerment, and unity. When we draw those things together, we begin to see what God does in prophetic ministry in a body such as ours. And I have to say that the word as it was given to me fulfills those criteria. It was given to me in great humility. It was given to me, and I was asked to consider it. And I want you to know I've done just that. I shared it with some mentors of mine outside the church who have nothing to do with the church, this particular church. And all of them endorsed it with great enthusiasm. One of them, you saw here in this pulpit, Oscar from Kenya, was absolutely transfixed by what God was saying. And actually believes that there may be something about the connection between the two of us in the prophecy. And some other people, and I brought it before, prayerfully before the leadership, and gradually we believed. We came to a point where we believed that we should share this with you. And so it is with enormous excitement that I share this prophetic word that was given to me. I sense that God is calling this house to prepare in faith for the harvest that is coming and is already here. God took me to Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread your home, and spare no expense. For you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle ruined cities. Like a mother and father who know their baby is coming, they prepare a place for them, for when the baby comes, although they haven't seen their child, they anticipate its coming and prepare accordingly. So when the time is right, they are ready. You may not see it yet, but it is coming quickly and sooner than our human time frames. I saw a picture of when a tidal wave is about to hit, and how there's a phenomenon where the wave went before the wave hits, the water withdraws and gets sucked back into the sea, causing a low tide where you can walk out for miles sometimes. It looks like there's nothing happening, nothing but sand, no wave in sight, but the wave is coming. I sense that it is where we are right now. It may look or seem empty or like nothing is happening, but the wave is about to crash. After I saw the picture, I felt the Lord say, "Are you ready for the turning of the tide? It has already begun. I am coming quickly." I heard God say, the nets will be filled, they will be heavy and need a strong people to carry the weight of what's coming and is already here. Can you handle the weight of what I want to pour out on this church? I have chosen this church to carry my glory. He then said to me, how are you going to catch these people? Not by trying to get people into the church, no. God will fill our nets. But how and what are we going to do when they come? I sense this word is less about getting a bigger physical space, although that may be where God is leading, but more about what he's calling his body is to do, is to prepare in whatever ways God has been impressing on your hearts and this church, spiritually and otherwise. I heard God say, do whatever you need to do to prepare, for you are preparing the way of the Lord. Ready or not, here I come. Revival and the harvest is coming, and yes, it is already here. I felt the Lord say that he's put in the DNA of this church to be mighty and powerful. I sense that God is saying, be intentional about the decisions and the direction you take, what ministries you sow into inside this church. He said, I will send angels to help you. You will not be alone. They are already busy. And I saw many worker angels already inside the sanctuary of the church building, fortifying, strengthening, and preparing. I sense that God is asking us, both leadership and communication, what needs to be done practically and spiritually? What measures or steps need to be taken? Once again, how are you going to catch these people? Prepare your body. Lastly, I asked the Lord if there was a time frame for this. And I saw a clear picture of the ball that drops every year in New York City, and I heard 2 years. Then very honestly, they write, test the timing of the word, for because I am learning the time on my prophetic words and how far in advance I am seeing. I was stunned when I read those words, and I was stunned when so many people came, and so many people outside and who know me and know nothing of this church said, "Yeah, this is it. This is the truth." Now, what is God going to do? I don't know. But he's quite clear that he's going to do something. And what he's telling us to do is to get ready, to be prepared, to be prepared. And as I have thought about this, one overwhelming thing has come to me is that we need to give an enormous priority to unity. To unity. The most potent weapon that the evil one has in the life of the local church is disunity. We have an extraordinarily diverse body of Christ here. We have charismatics, we have non-charismatics. We have old, we have new. We have young, we have older. We have people with different theological perspectives. We have young earth creationists. We have old earth creationists. We have an extraordinarily diverse group of people, which is a recipe for the evil one to get in and divide. It is, when I first became a pastor, God put a passion on my heart because of my own experiences, which I'll go into another time, that of where churches have division. I wanted our church to be a place where those who like to lift their hands can do so, where those who like to keep them down can do so, and where all of the spectrums of mystics, conservatives, charismatics, you name it. I just don't want to use politically charged words because somebody will come up to me and say, oh, so you like those, oh, so, and I'm not going to use those words because I don't want them coming back. All I know is that God is calling us to be a place where we do not tolerate our differences, we embrace them. We appreciate them, we enjoy them, because that is the rich tapestry that God has given us. And that's what we need to do to be prepared. Because if God is going to bring these people, he's going to bring them in pipelines that come in every direction you can imagine. They're going to come from different theological ideas. They're going to come from different attitudes. They're going to come from different perspectives. And we need not just to say, well, it's okay to disagree. But we need to learn what God is going to teach us from all that he brings us. One of the things that God said to me very clearly is he said, you need to look carefully at the gifts that God brings to you. If you've ever been in one of my membership classes, I've always said that if you come to this church, I believe with all my heart that God is bringing your gifts because we need them. We don't do warm body here at New Life. We don't say, okay, so there's a gap here. You look as if you're alive. You can fill it. We want to know what God is bringing in you. And we believe that every one of your gifts that God's given you is supernatural. It doesn't matter whether it's hospitality. It doesn't matter whether it's doing the things that Lars does so often in packing things up and moving them. It doesn't matter if it's in the kitchen or doing the slides or on the healing team or on the worship team. Every one of those God-given gifts is supernatural because God gave them to us. And we need to be welcoming them, even when sometimes they make us think, whoa, that's a little different. Because we haven't begun to touch all of the things that God might bring to us. But yes, we need to be cautious. Yes, we need to test the spirits. Yes, we need to do all of those things. But we need to do so in an enormous, with powerful unity. And we need to examine ourselves day by day to see that the seeds of disunity are not being sowed in our hearts. So that God can continue to prepare us for what he wants us to do. Last year we looked at the subject of being sent and sending others. This year, we're going to look at our discipleship under three headings. We're going to look about being with Jesus, because I want us to realize this. If we don't take the time personally to be with Jesus, the rest will not happen. If we don't realize that our time, our personal devotional time, the time when we spend by ourselves, the time when we wonder why, what to do with the silence. We saw it in emotionally healthy spirituality. We saw it again in the rule of life. Time and time again, he is calling us to step aside and be with me. I remember for myself when God challenged me with this, and he woke me up and said, I had a bad stomach ache, and he said, now I've got your attention. Do you want to be with me or not? And I said, well, I do. Every time this was a long time ago, I prepare teaching and all that sort of thing. I spend lots of time with him. He said, I'm not interested in that. I want you to be with me. And I recognize that if all the time I spent with my wife was when we had to write the shopping list, our relationship would be pretty lame. And I realized that if all the time I spent with God was on BART, my relationship with God would be pretty lame. And if all of the time I spent with God was with other people, I'd never get to know him personally. And it's so easy for that to get shoved out. But if we are going to be prepared to be the people God is calling us to be, we have to be with him. And if you find part of your ministry is getting dry, it's probably because you're not taking enough time with him by yourself. So I'm asking you, I'm challenging you. What is God asking you? Not anybody else anywhere near the pew that you're sitting in. What is God asking you to do so that your time with Jesus is deeper and more crucial and foundational in your life in 2020? Secondly, he wants us to be like Jesus. And I believe that the primary message of being like Jesus for us this year is about relationship. It's about our relationships, first of all, with one another. I make no apology whatsoever by going back to talking about growth groups, discipleship groups, mentoring groups. Time that you spend with people who are different than you, who think differently than you, who have different perspectives than you. Time that you spend with people who have different lengths of spiritual experience to you. I said to Julie, we were talking about this earlier in the week, I said, well, you don't put a whole bunch of people Adeline's age in the same room and expect them to grow up. Adeline's how old? Two. You don't put a bunch of two-year-olds and say, okay, here you go, grow up. We grow when we share together with people who think differently, see differently, believe perhaps slightly differently. That's what growth groups, our discipleship groups, our mentoring groups are actually all about. I have such a tremendous growth group on Thursday. Anna described it so well. I also have a wonderful group of guys that I meet regularly with who are very different from me, where we're seeking, and it's the challenge to be with Jesus has been so powerful for us. I want that for every one of you. Because I know that if you get that, leadership will grow, you will grow, life, we will be prepared for what God has for us to do. And it's not just inside, there's outside. That we need to, what the relationships we need to develop intentionally outside this body. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes when you just have to have conversations, build trust and pray. I've talked to you before about my friend Brandon, who has been, I met at the gym and then I then met him again at Rasmus Green's graduation because he planned that. And he once said to me, I really want to talk to you. And it took him 2 years to get to talk to me. Well, just last week, he's decided he wants to meet with me every 2 weeks so that we can study the Bible together. It takes time. Where are you? Is God asking you to invest personal relationship time outside of the body that you can then bring inside the body so we can pray for you? Those relationships, if you read the gospel, you discover that Jesus was all about relationship. He never was scared to tell people the truth. He never was scared to confront people with what they needed to be confronted with. But he was always there to love them unconditionally. If we are going to be what God is preparing us for, that has to be what the characteristics of our lives have to be. And then lastly, we need to do what Jesus did. When you go into the ministry fair, you will find multiple opportunities for you to do what Jesus did, both inside and outside this body. Yes, I have got a little excited. And we've gone a little longer than we normally do. But I want to share with you a couple more things. Firstly, I want to share with you my commitment to you as a body of Christ, as your pastor. I'm not quite sure. I didn't anticipate being as emotional as I feel. But I believe that I have to, again, I have to make a commitment to you because all of these gifts, some of them, I have a role to play. I have, as my friend Oscar told me, he said, God put you there. He anointed you there. You have got to do what you're supposed to do. And my commitment to you as a pastor comes from 2 Timothy 4, the first 5 verses. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For the time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. That is my commitment to you. And often it's a commitment I find terrifying. It's a commitment that sometimes, as Maggie will tell you, has me standing without my confidence, without anything, when I come to church on a Sunday morning. But it is my commitment to you that is what I will faithfully try to do as we prepare for whatever God has to do. Yes, there are lots of things that I would love to see. In the new year, we have a new year, we have a new decade. I would like to see 80%, actually I'd like to see 100% of you all in growth groups or mentoring relationships or discipleship relationships or more than one of those. I'm absolutely ecstatic that we are starting point in March of this year. It's always been on my heart as the greatest opening. In the prophetic word it says, how will you deal with the people who come? I believe starting point is a fundamental part of that. And in order for it to be a fundamental part of that, you need to do it so that you can lead it. It's the most wonderful starting point for questioners. But we not only have a new, and that's not all I'm excited about. I'm excited about the fact that we need to be, we need to focus on training opportunities so that the things that we do, we can do better. Like Mitch said about Matthew 25, we need to do the things that we're doing because God has laid things on our hearts and we have been doing them. We need to do them better. We need to be willing to recognize that we all need to be. A good leader is a long-time learner. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. And in the new decade, I pray that we will plant new congregations. I hope that this year we might begin to plant new growth groups. And I mean that really specifically. I don't want growth groups to divide. I want them to catch a vision for division. A vision to plant another group, to pray for that group, to fellowship with that group, so that we proliferate by vision, not by rule. And I hope that in the new year, as the years over the next 10 years, we will plant congregations. And here's a very personal one. I pray that within the next 10 years, we will find somebody who I can hand this church that I adore with every fiber of my being, and Maggie does too. I pray that sometime within the next 10 years, God will bring someone here who will love you as much as I do, and will love God as much as I do. Will this happen? I don't know. Because God has only said, I've got something coming, and I want you to be ready for it. It may look very different from anything that we imagine. It may look totally different. But we need to be ready. We need to be ready. I don't know, but actually, that's pretty exciting. You know, when you go down Christmas morning, you don't know what the Christmas presents are. They're all wrapped up. God's wrapped all this up. But we can be absolutely certain that there's something in the wrapping. So my brothers and sisters, let's ask ourselves, what is God asking me to do so that I might be with him more? What is God asking me? Where are the relationships God is asking me to build inside and outside the church so that I can be like him? And what are the things that I need to take? And because I love him so much, I am going to do because it was what he did. Whether it's big, small, or somewhere in between. Up front, behind the closed doors, I don't know. But he knows, and he will show you if you are hungry and anxious to know. Any of you who were here when Oscar preached here, you'll remember that he asked us a question. He said, are the things that you're living for worth Jesus dying for? Are the things that you're living for worth Jesus dying for? If, as God prepares us for whatever he is going to do, may he challenge us to do all and everything in our own lives and in our relationships with others that are worth Jesus dying for. Let's pray. Father, you have given us the opportunity to remember, to have 20/20 hindsight, and see what you have done. And we're so grateful. You've given us a chance, an opportunity to learn that you have more to come. We don't know what it is, but you've given us the opportunity to get prepared. Lord, will you give us that urgency that says, I want to be prepared. I want to be prepared. I want to be prepared tomorrow because I want you, because we just are looking forward to what you're going to do. Lord, show us how to prepare each one of us. Show us how to encourage each other, each one of us. That all that we do will make us ready for what you are calling us to. We're going to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And Lord, we We know that you have been so faithful. And we know that where you've made promises, you will continue to be faithful. We know that where you have spoken to us, you will be faithful. So great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father,